Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us and from God our Father, Jesus Christ. The title for today's sermon is Living Water, Not Available in Stores. The text is taken from the Gospel lesson in John with a particular attention to the following verses, which are verses 5 to 15. So Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, worried as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, for it was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where is it that you get living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." This is the end of the text. Water, it's an essential part of life here on this little blue planet that we call Earth. About 70% of the Earth is covered in water. It also exists in the air as vapor. It's in the polar ice caps and glaciers. Water is found in the ground, in aquifers. It's in the soil. About 60% of the human body is made up of water. We need water to survive. Without it, we will perish in about 3 days. Water is a vital part of human existence, yet we generally place relatively low value on it here, at least in Canada. We use water to bathe, we cook in it, we water our gardens and our lawns, we swim in it, we freeze it and put it in refreshing drinks. For us, clean drinking water is fairly inexpensive because it is so abundant. Therefore, even though it's vital for our survival, we often take it for granted. If the supply of fresh drinking water were threatened, the value of it would certainly increase. Take bottled water, for example. Why do people pay a couple of bucks for a liter of water in the store when it's basically free from any tap, from a garden hose? People pay extra for bottled water because they trust that it is clean and healthy for them. Often we're willing to pay at a convenience store for a single liter of water. We pay more for it than we do the highly refined gasoline that we just put into our car. Imagine how the price of water would increase if our supply were suddenly shut off, if all the taps were suddenly empty. The value we put on a liter of water would skyrocket, especially if we hadn't had a drink for a couple of days. How much money do you think you would pay to provide life-giving water to your thirsty family, to your spouse, or to your child? I dare say that you would be willing to pay any price to give them a drink of water. We would empty our bank accounts to save the life of our family. But what about 3 days later, when our thirst threatens our life again? The problem is that no matter how much we drink in one day, eventually, we need to drink again. But what if you could get your hands on a bottle of water that would quench the thirst of your family forever? What would that be worth in a world where water was so scarce? In the Gospel of John, we hear the account of the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. The conversation begins with this very topic of water. As Jesus is sitting near the well, he asks the woman to give him a drink. At first, she is amazed that he, being a Jewish man, would even so much as talk to her, a Samaritan, let alone to ask her to share a cup with him. For the Jews, They despised the Samaritans, and they would have nothing to do with them. But Jesus, he cuts through the racial and the religious discrimination of the day. He ignores her hesitations, and he explains to her that if she knew who he was, she would ask him for living water. When the woman hears the words living water, she seems to think that Jesus is referring to running water, or like water from a stream, water that's not stagnant. She does not yet perceive that Jesus is speaking of something far greater than literal water that quenches our physical thirst. So Jesus explains to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will be like a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This water that Jesus is speaking about, it's not H2O. Living water is Christ himself. Living water is given to us in baptism, and it produces saving faith in Jesus, which gives all believers eternal life. So what is the value of living water? What is the value that you put on the faith that you have been given? I, for one, know that I often take my own baptism for granted, and I rarely think about my faith in terms of value. Perhaps we don't think too much about it because we know that faith and eternal life have been given to us freely as a gift. After all, we didn't pay a dime for it. You could say that this living water is even cheaper than that 1 liter bottle of water, even cheaper than common tap water. But just because it is free, does that mean that it's any less valuable to us? Just as drinking water is vital for our daily survival, the living water that Jesus gives to us is absolutely vital for our eternal salvation. The Bible tells us that faith in Christ is essential for salvation. Since we receive faith in Jesus through God's word and through baptism, you would think that the whole world should be lined up outside the church doors, even perhaps camping out overnight, trying to save a spot in line to get in here to receive the life-giving waters that Jesus provides for free. It even comes with a lifetime guarantee. But in baptism, we are given this faith in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit lives inside us. He comes to us and to all believers. This Holy Spirit that is within each of us is like a spring of water that does not dry up. As we read about and hear God's word, our faith, it is refreshed, and we are made holy. We are renewed and made new every day as we remember our baptism. But yet, even as baptized Christians, we do continue to fall into temptations of sin. In this life, we will never be completely free from sin, but the Spirit that is inside us, it gives us the power to fight against it. And when we make mistakes, God forgives us. But do we ever wonder why God continues to forgive us, especially when sometimes we keep making some of the same mistakes over and over again? You would think eventually that God would just get tired of our continual failings and just cut us off from himself. But the fact of the matter is that we can never make up for all our misdeeds. We can never pay the price for the living water that cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. We are only cleansed from our sins because of the steep price that Jesus paid to give us this living water. Jesus paid the price to cleanse us, to cleanse our souls, as he laid down his life for us on that cross some 2,000 years ago. Jesus died to give life-sustaining living waters to that Samaritan woman at the well. He died to provide life-giving water to you and to your thirsty family. This gift is offered freely to us, yet it is not worthless. The gift of eternal life is more precious and valuable than anything in this world. Jesus loves you, and he cares about your earthly needs, like food and drinking water. He desires for us to be happy and to live God-pleasing lives, but what he cares most about is our eternal life. The troubles and cares and sins that we have here now, they will all be taken away in our future eternal home with Jesus. He does not promise us a perfect life here on this earth. In fact, he tells us that we will likely suffer because we follow Christ. But know that no matter how hard life gets, the Holy Spirit is living inside you, and he will give each of us the peace that surpasses all our human understanding. For there are countless difficulties in life. One of the number one difficulties we experience are financial hardships. As a seminary student, I can tell you firsthand that I know what it feels like to be strapped for cash sometimes. Before entering seminary, I had a decent living, made a pretty good income. But now, as a student, sometimes we have to tighten up the belt and make the budget last just a little bit longer. Many of you likely know what I'm talking about or have experienced these types of stresses in your own life. When the bank account has dried up and the bills are still coming in, it can feel like we're walking through a hot, dry desert with no water in sight. We may be digging a financial hole deeper and deeper, going into debt, hoping that we may strike it rich, yet the further we dig, the more trouble we get into. When we face difficulties in life, it can be hard to think about anything other than our problems. The financial issues that we face make life hard, and we may feel like money and wealth can give us that relief. But just as we continue to thirst for drinking water day after day, money will never truly satisfy our desire for real meaning, for real value in life. No matter how much we accumulate, how financially secure we are, no amount of money will ever satisfy our thirst, our need for eternal refreshment. Only the living water of Christ gives us this truly quenching water that will last forever. Another major source of strife for even for Christians are relationship problems. Perhaps you are even living in or have been personally affected by the nightmare of divorce. In our gospel lesson, Jesus knew all about the Samaritan woman's past divorces. She had been married 5 times. She was despised by her own community, which explains why she was at this well all by herself in the heat of the day. Not even the other women in her village wanted anything to do with her, yet Jesus, he was not repelled by her or her sin. Jesus came to her despite her past, and he does not wait for us either. He comes to us just as we are, sin and all, and he offers every one of us forgiveness. There is no sin too great, no stain in life that cannot be lifted and washed away and cleansed by the living water that Jesus Christ gives. We all have sins in our lives that burden us, that make us feel unclean and unworthy to be called Christians. Some sins, they may be known publicly. Others may be locked up in the secret places of our own hearts, where you and I would shrivel up in horror if anyone actually knew what went on in our minds or in our thoughts. But Jesus knows all about those secret sins too, and he still loves us. Dear friends, you are forgiven by the cleansing waters of Jesus Christ, by his death and the power that it had on the cross. Drink in the refreshing promise that you are a righteous child of God. You have been born again through the waters of baptism, and as a member of his family, you are treasured by him more than anything that the world has to offer, more than anything that the money can buy. Living water is precious. It's a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It's like a bottle of water that continues to quench our thirst forever. And it's not available in stores. It doesn't come out of a tap. It's free. There's an infinite supply, and it's for everyone. It's for Samaritans, it's for Jews, for Gentiles, it's for all cultures, all people of this earth. It quenches our thirst for forgiveness and for righteousness, now and into eternal life. Cheers. In the name of Jesus, our living water. Amen.